Listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramah Beit Shemesh Israel, 5786, 2025. This week, we do not have a Parsha, but we do have the holiday of Sukkos. We are celebrating in our Sukkos, we are celebrating in our shuls, we are shaking the lulav, we are having our Simchas Beis HaShoevas, rejoicing, singing, dancing. And I'd like to share with you a thought. Pasuk says in Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Mem, U'lekachtem lachem bayom arishoin. You are to take on the first day of Sukkos, Pri Eitz Hadar. You're supposed to take a fruit from the beautiful tree, Kapos Temarim. You're supposed to take lulav fronds, Kapos Temarim. What else do we have? Anaf Eitz Avos. Myrtle branches, arve nachal, and willow branches. So we all know it's a very famous idea that some of them, each of these different parts of the four species that we take together, we bring together the lulav and the esrog, and each of these species, one of them has taste and smell, one of them has no taste and no smell, one of them has taste and no smell, one of them has no smell and taste. Each of these represents different parts of the Jewish people, some of whom are B'nai Torah, they learn the Torah, and they keep the mitzvahs. Some of them have nothing. They're just Jews in name. Some of them they learn, but they don't keep the mitzvahs. Some of them keep the mitzvahs, they don't learn. Each of these aspects of Klal Yisrael, we bring them together in a beautiful bond. We show our achdus. It represents the unity of the Jewish people. The Medrash brings a few different explanations as to what each of these elements of the four species represent. One explanation is Pri Eitz Hadar is Avraham Avinu, Kapos Temarim is Yitzchak Avinu, Anaf Eitz Avos, the myrtle branches, are Yaakov Avinu, Arve Nachal is Yosef. Different explanations, different concepts. I'd like to share with you the first of these concepts. I'd like to try to understand it, and we're going to also turn to an interesting halacha in regards to the concept of lulav, and we're going to see a depth in what is behind this halacha. The measure says like this, Davar acher, Pri Eitz Hadar, Ze HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Medrash that the Pri Eitz Hadar, the esrog, the citron, represents God, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed is He. Somehow it's represented, Hashem is represented. And it's important to understand, when we take these different elements together, we bring the four species together and we shake them in the six different directions, up and down, right, left, forward, back. So there's something there. It's not just a motion, that's an empty motion. It's supposed to be ma'ir or something in us, to awaken something in us. We need to think about something. There's a focus. There's a spiritual aspect, of course, an inner aspect to it. Says the Medrash, when you look at that esrog, it's supposed to remind you of Hashem. It's called a Pri Eitz Hadar. It's the fruit of the tree of Hadar. Hadar means splendor. How does that represent Hashem? In regards to Hashem, we find in Baruch Hinavshi, which we say every Rosh Chodesh, that Hashem is referred to as one who wears Hoid and Hadar. Two different words that represent splendor, one of which is the inner splendor, that inner aspect of it, that inside of oneself, I have a sense of my greatness, let us say. And the hadar, the concept of hadar is an outward display of greatness, of splendor. So Hashem, in all of creation, He manifests, the whole world is His clothes, as it were. Hashem, you wear splendor. Same word, hadar, which is used for Hashem, is also used in regards to the esrog. The esrog is a fruit of splendor, so it reminds us of the ultimate one who has splendor, and that is Hashem Himself. Kapos Temarim, what do the lulav branches represent? Says the Medrash, interestingly, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this also represents Hashem. The pasuk says, Tehillim, which we read on Shabbos, Tzadik HaTamar Yefrach, the righteous one sprouts and makes flowers like a tamar, like a date palm. So the Mefarshim explain, even though the Pashup Shana Pasuk is referring to a tzaddik, a real righteous individual, the Medrash understands that who's the tzaddik Yishal Olam, who is the ultimate righteous one of creation? It's Hashem. And He manifests in the world through the fruits, through the expansion that He created, which is all of that which we see. It's through the human beings, it's through the foliage, it's through the earth, it's through the sun, the moon, and the stars. All of these are expressions of Hashem's, or an outgrowth of an expression of Hashem Himself, as it were. Hashem is called the Tzaddik. Tzaddik HaTamar Yifrach. God, His fruit is seen as a palm tree. So the palm tree, the palm branch, represents Hashem as well. So when we're holding our lulav and our esek, what are we thinking about? Reminding ourselves of Hashem, who is the foundation of the world. V'anaf Yitzavos. Pasuk refers to the myrtle branches as Anaf Yitzavos Zakodesh Baruch Hu. Dichsiv V'ami Ben Ahadas. And Pasuk says in Zechariah, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Ches, that Hashem, as it were, V'hu, and He, which the Medrash understands to be a reference to Hashem, God is referred to as He. He is the One. So Hashem stands between the Hadassim. And classically, the concept of Hadassim, the Hadassim represent something my daughter Hadassah, she's 8 years old. We looked into her name before we named her. It's the name of Esther Amalka. But it's the name that refers, Hadassim refer to Tzaddikim, to the righteous. So Hashem is surrounded by the righteous. He manifests through the righteous. Those who are seeking to do Hashem's will, they are the ones in this world that we see Hashem's light shining through. So when you look at the Hadassim, again, you see the myrtle branch, you're thinking of Hashem. It's reminding you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Varvei Nachal. Let's guess, what do you think it is? Who does that represent? Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It represents Hashem once again. Pasuk refers to Hashem as the one who rides on Aravos. Aravos, literally, as we're understanding in the Pasuk, is talking about the willow branches, those long leaves that require a lot of water. If they're not hydrated, they die so easily. Hashem rides on Aravos. So one explanation of Aravos, the place that Hashem rides, as it were, is Aravos is a reference to the heavens, to the highest places, in which is a very interesting concept, that it's a place which needs to be constantly attached to water. Hashem is called the one who is the source of life. Hashem is the source of the living waters. And He rides on the Aravos, those that need to be completely attached to Him. Those that wither and die without their connection to Hashem, Hashem rides upon them. He's the Seilu L'Reiche Baravis B'Koshemai. God is His name. So you have these four species, all of which represent Hashem Himself, which is very interesting because in contrast distinction to the other explanations in the Medrash as to what each of the four species represent, each of them has a different representation, as we saw before. One is Avram, one is Yitzchak, one is Yaakov, one is Yosef. One is the tzaddikim, one is the ones who don't learn at all, etc. But here, all four represent Hashem Himself. And we need to understand, we're going to come back to the question of what does it mean? What is the concept here that each of the four species represents Hashem? What is the idea behind it? And to throw into the pot, I want to remind you, of course you know, that when you take the lulav and esrog, one of the main parts of the mitzvah is not just holding it, which is the ikar mitzvah, it's just just taking it, holding it. But besides that, we do the ni'anun, we shake it in the six directions. And we always bring it back to the center, to the right, to the left, to forward, up, down, back. We shake it, bring it out, and bring it back. Bring it out, bring it back. We have to understand what is the concept there. We're doing it. We're going through the motions, of course. We gotta have the outer aspect, the superficial aspect, but we also have we need to understand on a deeper level, what is the concept? So now before we get to explaining that and trying to understand what is the Medrash mean when it says that Hashem is the center of it, I'd like to share with you a medrash, another medrash, which brings a halacha. The halacha is, l'kachtem lachem yom erishay. On the first day of Yontif, that's the first day of Sukkot is the day that's deoraisa, that there's an obligation from the Torah to shake the lulav. The rest of the 7 days, the next 6 days after the first day of Sukkot, the obligation outside of the Beis HaMikdash area, outside of Yerushalayim, is only midirabbanan. It's only from the sages that they instituted that we should continue to do it throughout the rest of the 6 days of Sukkot. But from the Torah, only the first day is one obligated to shake the lulav. Important to know that. And in the Beis HaMikdash area, and perhaps even by the Kaisel, so the obligation all 7 days is d'oraisa from the Torah, but outside of that area, it's only midirabbanan. But let's focus in on the first day. It says, "Lekachem lachem bayom arishon." You shall take for yourselves on the first day. Now the Medrash understands the Gemara when we pass in this way lahalacha. Tanya Rabbi Chiya b'mekach v'le b'gazal lachem. Cholechod ve'achol mikem lachem ishalachem v'le agazal. The Medrash says that when the Torah says that there's an obligation to take to you, lekachtem lachem, take for yourselves. It's not just that it has to be that you take for yourselves this, the four species, and you shake them, but you have to take something that is yours. It has to be something that is yourselves. It's part of you. If a person will borrow a lulav on the first day of Yontif, you're not Yotze. You can't fulfill your obligation. It has to be yours. You have to ask your friend to give it to you while you're shaking it. On the condition maybe that you'll give it back, that's fine. But it has to be yours when you're shaking it. And if a person steals a lulav and an esrog, let's say a person takes it without permission, the halacha is, you're not yotze. You cannot fulfill your obligation with a stolen lulav and esrog. Amar Rabbi Levi, now listen carefully, I'm going to tell you a story. We all love stories. Rabbi Levi says, Mishalekech lulav gazal ma'ad davar daima. The Medrash says a mashal. What is it like if you take a lulav and that lulav is stolen? What is it comparable to? Let's give you an analogy. You have a thief. And the thief sits along the way, the highway, and he sees people passing by, and he pulls out his gun, and he says, your money or your life? He takes their money. Chadzman, one time, Avar lo echad legion v'agbidem de moisio da'ayim edinto. One of his poor victims was actually the king's tax collector. So the tax collector is passing by. He's got all the money of the king sitting in his wallet. All the money that he's collected in a big bag. Come, kami v'kapchei nesav kol manav b'yadei. So now the thief comes. He stops the tax collector. He steals all the money that he has, which of course is really the king's money. And other items as well, whatever this guy has on him, whatever he's carrying with him, whatever's in the carriage, he takes it, he steals it. Basar Yoimin, after a few days, it's tired. Ahulista is chavish bepiloki. This thief was caught. He was caught by the cops. And they put him in jail. Shma ahuligyoin of azalagabe. Now, the tax collector hears about it, and he goes, and he hatches a plan. He says to him, give me what you stole from me. Give me all the money that you stole. Give me all the items and articles that you stole from me. And he says, if you give me back everything, I'm going to stand up for you in front of the king. I'm going to speak on your behalf. I'm going to say that you're okay. He says, look, the thief says, I stole everything. I spent all the money already. There's nothing left. The only thing that I have left is I have a mat that I'm sitting on right now. It's a beautiful colored mat, embroidered mat. that I can give back to you. It's the only thing that I have left. Everything else I used or I sold, got rid of. He says, look, give me the mat, which the mat, it was the only thing that he stole that actually belonged to the legionnaire, to the tax collector. He says, give it back to me, and I will speak positively about you in front of the king. Amar le'Nazmei, he says, take it. I'll give it to you. I'm happy to do that. Good deal. Amar le'Tiyevi, yoda da'at ala l'machar kodem al k'ladino. Okay, so the tax collector says to the thief, listen, here's the deal. Tomorrow you're going to be called in front of the king, and they're going to judge you. U'shal av amar lach islach barnash t'mal falach zechu. He says, do you have anybody who you would like to speak on your behalf, who can say something positive for you? He says, this is what you should say to the king. I have a particular legionnaire, the tax collector. He's going to speak on my behalf. He'll call for me. And I'm going to come and I'm going to say something on your behalf. The next day, indeed, they called him out. They called up this guy out of jail, and they brought him in front of the king, and it was time for his judgment. Just as the legionnaire had told him, indeed, the king said, do you have anyone who can speak on your behalf? He said, yes, I have this guy who's going to speak for me. The king calls to the tax collector, and do you have anything to say about this person? Do you have anything positive? He says, I'm aware of this person. I have information about him. When you sent me to collect the taxes for that particular area, so this guy got up, he stole everything I had. And this particular mat, here it is. He pulls out the mat and he says, this proves this is all that he had left from all that he stole from me. This was all that was left. Everyone says, oh, woe unto this person. He thought that he's going to have an advantage by giving back the mat, and now he's gonna have something positive to say about him. Look, he gave back the mat. But him giving back the mat didn't help him anything, because he didn't give back all the money. Everything else was stolen. Kach, says the Medrash. So it didn't work out so good for the thief. The guy we thought was gonna help him out ends up being the greatest negative statement against him. He thought he had a defense attorney. Instead, he had a prosecuting attorney. Kach, I'm gonna kach lulav l'skoyis boy. Now a person wants to take a lulav. Hashem says, shake a lulav. And what does this guy do? He steals it. So if the person steals the lulav and he's shaking the lulav in front of Hashem, look at the mitzvah I'm doing. Look how I'm shaking my lulav in the six directions back and forth, which we'll understand soon exactly what it really represents and why this is such a, I would say, pathetic way of doing a mitzvah. Instead of it being a merit for him, instead of it speaking positively on his behalf, the lulav doesn't serve to bring him merits. The lulav instead says, look at me, I'm stolen. Chamazani, look at me, I was taken from someone who I really belong to. Malachi Asher Yisayimrim. And this angels in heaven say, Oy lezeh shenasa senegeri kategori. Woe unto the person who his defense attorney became his prosecuting attorney. That's the Medrash. That is the Medrash. So, bottom line, don't steal a lulav in us, you can use it for your mitzvah. At least not on the first day. But it seems like not even on the second day either, according to the way the Gemara understands it. Never steal a lulav. Don't steal something and do a mitzvah with it. But what's really at the core of this? What's really at the heart of this? I want to share with you, going back to the first medrash, we're trying to understand each of the aspects of the Priyetz Hadar, the Esrog, the Citron, the lulav branch, the myrtle branches, the willow branches, each of these, we said, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem himself, as it were God, is represented in each of these aspects. What is the concept here? So I'd like to share with you the Eitz Yisrael says like this. Yaira al Shumeniya Rishon. Says something very deep. When we say that Hashem is represented by the Arvei Nachal, the willow branches, what we're really saying is that Hashem is the one who moves everything. He is the first source. You have cogs. You have different things that move and turn in the entire universe. And the one who turns the first cog, the one who's turning that first switch, flipping the switch, starting everything going, getting everything moving, is Hashem himself. What's represented is that Hashem is the one who rides upon the highest heavens, right? Hashem is up there in the highest heavens, which are called Aravos. Hashem is the one moving everything. Sits on his Kisei HaKavod, he sits on his throne. He's the king, which means that he's controlling. Just like a king is in charge, you have a Trump, and he says, okay, this is how things are going to be, this is how it's going to unfold. And then he has his minions who he sends to make sure all of the deals are done and all the pieces is obtained. It all goes back ultimately really to Hashem, right? Even there, Lev Melachim V'Sar Miyad Hashem. Hashem is the one who controls the thoughts and the hearts of those who seem to have power. So, what is represented here? So I think that really the depth of the Eitz Yosef is saying like this. You know, the lulav and the asrig, when we take them, we push them, as we said, we move them in and out, back and forth, in six directions, to the right, to the left, forward, up, down, back. And the six directions represent the 6 days of the week. We've spoken about this in the past. It's the number six always represents action. 6 days of the week, shishazim tavo, yvasizikom lachtecha, you work and you do. And where is the seventh direction? It's the center. You always bring it back to the center. And whenever we're in the center, we say Hashem's name without movement. Because it seems like we're the ones doing the movement. It seems like we're the ones doing the actions. It seems like as we go through life, we're accomplishing. It looks like it's the Trumps and the Netanyahu's and the generals and the soldiers and the... But what is really the mania? What is the source of all the movement? It always comes back to the center. And the center always is where Hashem is. His name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't say that name. But he's the one who, the word of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, means that he is. He is. It's always now for him. It's always here. There's no movement in Hashem's world. There's no time. There's no 6 days for Hashem. There's only Shabbos. No movement. Shabbos is no movement. It's the seventh day where we stop all of our work. We stop all of our actions. We stop all the shaking of the lulav. It comes back to the center. Right? And there's no movement. That is represented here. When we are shaking the lulav, and we say that each of the aspects of the lulav is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we're really saying is that even in the movement itself, even as we move through the 6 days of creation, in the six directions of the world, as I fly here and I fly there, as there's action and there's movement and there's stuff being accomplished, the accomplishments all come, it's all rooted in Hashem himself, in God. He's the one who's the Meniya Rishon. He's the one who causes all the movement. He's the one who, despite the fact that he is static, as it were, Hashem doesn't change, Hashem doesn't move, but he is the one who creates all motion. He's the one who manifests. Hoyd v'hadar levashta. Hoyd is the splendor itself. Hadar is the way that it manifests as it comes out, as it moves in the world. So Hashem is the one who is behind everything. Now let's look for a moment at the concept of gezel. Hashem does not want us to steal something and do a mitzvah with it. Why does a person steal? Why does a person take something that's not his? Doesn't belong to him. He didn't earn. He didn't get on his own. The reason a person takes something is because he thinks what I have is what I have. What he has is also mine. I can take whatever I want. I don't have to earn anything. Hashem didn't give me all of my needs as they really are. That's what a person who is geisel says. A person who steals thinks that he's in charge of reality. I can grab something and take something. I can do whatever I want. A person who's a Baal B'Tochen, and we've spoken about this in the B'Tochen podcast, a person who's a Baal B'Tochen doesn't believe that it's possible to take any, or it's possible for me to not have something that I'm supposed to have. Everything that I have is what I'm supposed to have. Hashem is in charge of my life. He's the Meini Arishan. He's the one who makes everything move. Everything in my life. If it's moving, it's Hashem moving it. If I have it, Hashem gave it to me. If I don't have it, Hashem did not give it to me. When a person steals, what he's really saying is, Hashem, I'm in charge, not you. Ani Hashem soine geza ba'oilo, the pasuk says, the Gemara brings it in Lulav HaGozel. I believe it's on Daf Lamed Aleph in Sukkah. When you steal something, when a person steals something and tries to bring it as a schus, as a merit for him to Hashem, it's the complete opposite of a merit. A person doing Hashem's will is saying, I recognize that Hashem, you are the creator. Everything is you. Everything in my life is you. Everything I have is from you. Everything I don't have is because you don't want me to have it. That's what a person says when you do a mitzvah. That's the schus, that's the merit. I subjugate myself to God. I recognize that He is everything, I am nothing. When a person steals, he's really saying, I don't think, Hashem, that you're in charge. I'm trying to be in charge. I'm going to take the thing that I stole and show that I think I'm in charge, and I'm going to use that to show Hashem you're in charge. That's a stira minei obey. That's self-contradictory. A person can't do that. You can't take something, as the Medrash says, it's like expecting someone to speak on your behalf, and he says, look, he returned this item. What happened to the rest of it? What happened to the rest of it? That was all stolen. You can't try to show, look, I'm a good guy. Look, I'm subservient to you, O King. Look, I'm subservient to what's right. Here, I'm giving back this item that I stole. What about everything else that you stole? Oh, look, I'm serving you, Hashem. I'm shaking the lulav. I'm showing that you're the mania. You're the one who makes all the movement going. But where did you get this thing from? You stole it. That means that you believe that Hashem is not in charge of everything. It's a stira minei obey. It's a self-contradictory statement. The citron reminds us that this fruit that grew, that's Hashem. It's from Hashem. You see the fruit? You know Hashem is one, He's beyond time. He moves within time, as it were. Kapos Tamarim, the lulav branch, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how does He manifest? Tzadik HaTamar Yifroch, He manifests as a righteous one, through the righteous ones in the world. Anaf Yitzavah, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The myrtle branch also, this is Hashem manifesting in the world, this movement. Arvei Nachal, the Aravos, the things that require constant watering. If a person detaches from the water, from the source of life, he has nothing. Shake it. Bring them all together. Bring all these things that represent Hashem together. And remember, the movement itself, though it seems that you're away from center, away from Hashem, as it were, that movement itself is also at its root from Hashem. I want to bless you and ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to realize and recognize and appreciate that He is the one behind it all, moving every aspect of our lives. Hashem should help us to understand that everything that goes on in the world, if there is peace, if there is war, if there is happiness, if there is sadness, everything is from Hashem. Hashem should help us to realize that all that movement, all of the things in our personal lives and in the national life of the Jewish people and of the entire world, Hashem should help us to see that He is the one who is the Meini Arishon. He's the one who is the source of all the movement. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Yontif.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes Ari Goldwag.